Stomach Companies delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, thanks to the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. So it's 5 o'clock on a Wednesday, which usually means Jared versus Joe. And Joe Rexroad just wrote the column of the day. I woke up this morning, and I saw the column, and I didn't even know Joe wrote it. It talked about Ohio State's next coach, and the picture had Mike Vrabel. And I couldn't help myself. I had to click it, and I did. And then I saw the byline by Joe Rexroad. And so it went from, like, I was kind of asleep and, like, kind of drowsy and, like, oh, you know, waking up in the morning. To, you know, there's Vrabel, Ohio State, click it, Joe Rexroad. I'm like, okay, now I need to go through this thing like a fine-tooth comb. Is there anything in there that just tells it to me like it is? Is there anything in there that Joe is hinting at knowing that Mike Vrabel could be the next coach at Ohio State? The answer to that is no, which made me even happier because it told me right then and there, it made me so excited that Joe Rexroad really wrote about 1,200 words just on the idea that Ohio State could dump Ryan Day and could hire Mike Vrabel. And so I do wonder what Joe knows. Do we have Joe with us? Joe joins us now. Before we get to Jared versus Joe, Joe Rexroad, great column today, Joe. Wow. What do you know, Joe?
You know, Jared, if you're going to heap praise or criticism make any kind of evaluation on a column, you should read it so that you can correctly convey it. I did not say anything about Ohio State dumping Ryan Day this year. I said the only way it would happen this year is if he voluntarily left. Now, a year from now, yes. I mean, I think look, if they lose to Michigan next year, people will sit here and talk about 45-5, talk about it all day. Talk about it all day. It's a different deal.
But do you know anything, like, Joe?
Hold on. You're making it sound like I'm advocating for them to fire him now, which I made fun of that idea in the column. Do I know anything? Let me put it this way, Jared. I don't, like, something like this, I'm not just going to completely pull it out of my rear end, okay? I mean, I know people in the Big Ten. Look, what do you think? You think Ohio State is going to stand for this from Ryan Day? And do you think Ohio State might have interest in Mike Vrabel?
I'll say this. I don't know anything about anything except I know Ryan Day's not the guy that's going to take Ohio State back to the top. That I know. I don't know if Ohio State knows that. I don't know if Vrabel wants to go to college. I don't know if Vrabel wants to try to get in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if Vrabel wants to take over for Belichick. I don't know any of that. I know Ryan Day is not winning the national championship at Ohio State, which makes your column, to me, very valid.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Vrabel would say either, but I think that at some point there's a pretty good chance that this is presented to him. And really, the column is, again, Ohio State should push all the chips in on him. I think there's a chance. If you made me bet right now, if it got to a choice, I would bet right now that he would ultimately choose to stay in the NFL. But I think it's different. It's a different deal. And people said for years, no way, Michigan's getting Harbaugh. We saw what happened there.
Has Vrabel said anything to you about this? Because I was wondering if you were going to ask Vrabel about this at the press conference today. Unfortunately, you did not.
Why would I? Robbie Bohr is like, oh, you didn't have a question. I'm like, what would my question be right now? There's no job open. Again, I wrote a column about what Ohio State should do. I got no question for him. I got no question for him. When this becomes a thing, which I think it will at some point, then that's a different deal.
I would argue that it is a thing because you made it a thing, which I love. And the only thing I could ask is, could you have made it a thing on Tuesday and not on Wednesday when A.J. Brown says that it's not personal between him and the Titans? That's all I'm saying. Though Caroline is here with us as well. Caroline, great job today on the Midday Show. So it is time for Jared versus Joe.
This is Joe Rexroad, now on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Caroline, let's get right to it.
Well, I was going to have the National Enquirer reporter himself. I was going to ask him, as that is our first question, but it sounds like you guys already got into it. Is Mike Vrabel going to Ohio State, Joe?
How about this? How about this? If I may, in the next 5 years, Will Ryan Day still be the coach? And will Mike Vrabel be the next coach at Ohio State? How about that, Caroline?
Perfect.
There you go.
Take it away.
Okay, well, if that's the question, in the next 5 years, I'm going to say no on the first thing. I agree with you. I don't think Ryan Day is up to this. I mean, like 45-5, look, the guy's recruiting very well. Congratulations. And show me the last Ohio State coach who didn't. And 45-5 is great. I think he's a good offensive coach. I think they're largely upset-proof, which there is something to be said for that. But, I mean, his team is a soft collection of talent, and I think we saw that Saturday. And, no, he will not be there. Like I said, on the second part of that, I'm going to guess that Vrabel – I think that there is a poll. I think it would be a very hard decision for Mike Vrabel. But ultimately, my guess is going to be that he's – and I think a lot of this is just the landscape of college coaching, which has changed in the last couple of years really pretty dramatically. I think he'll stay in the NFL.
Okay. I agree with Joe about Ryan Day. The one thing I have said confidently is I know Ryan Day's not the guy. I don't know if Gene Smith at Ohio State knows that. I don't know if the board of trustees or the president or whoever else is involved in this and the boosters, I don't know if they know that. But last year, Michigan beat the crap out of Ohio State. But, hey, Michigan was due, and it snowed, and this is the best team Michigan's had, and Hassan Haskins went crazy, and that happens. Just like how Tennessee beat Alabama this year, it was bound to happen eventually. Just like Butch Jones beat Florida that one time, it was bound to happen eventually. But for that butt-kicking to be even worse this year, and for it to be at home with Michigan not having their best player... No. You ain't going to work out at Ohio State. So I do agree that he's not going to be there in 5 years. Here's the one thing I can't decide on, which is how much money would Amy Adams Strunk be willing to pay Mike Vrabel? Would Amy Adams Strunk, if Ohio State offered, and I think we can agree that the starting spot in a negotiation for Mike Vrabel to come be the coach at Ohio State is the Brian Kelly 10-year, $100 million contract, right, at LSU?
Probably so, yes.
Than that, but sure.
Okay, I said the starting point.
Yeah, absolute minimum.
So we're talking about $10 million a season, fully guaranteed, no offsets, at the jump. Is Amy Adams Strunk going to pay $10 million for a coach in the NFL? I mean, the owners in the NFL were furious when Carolina paid Matt Rhule all that money, because it was like, well, wait a minute. Now we got to start paying our coaches more money. And I don't know if Amy would pay Mike Vrabel $10 million a year. So if Mike Vrabel's getting offered $100 million as the low end of what Ohio State would have to pay him, and the Titans are like, yeah, you know, we like it $5 million a season, $6 million a season, whatever it may be, and he's getting offered $10 million. Now, I mean, I like it, the NFL more than college too, but be hard for me not to take the $10 million.
I think it could be more than that. And the thing is with Amy, you know, whether it's this or something else, I mean, that's got to be on the back of her mind, or not even the back of her mind, because – Vrabel is a commodity, and he could pick a lot of spots around the league too. So, but one way or the other, he's going to get paid more, and she has to know that.
But would you pay him $10 million a year?
If I was Ohio State?
No. If you're Amy.
You know, I don't know. It's such a different deal because, again, if I'm Ohio State, I'll pay him 12. I'll talk 15. Because again, I think Mike Vrabel could have a Saban run at Ohio State, and I think Mike Vrabel, as the GM, as the lead recruiter, would clean up even more than Ohio State does already. I think he'd win those battles, whatever battle he wanted to win. I really do. But as an NFL head coach, you have those limitations. It's just not the same value because you don't have to do all that crap. You don't have to deal with all that crap, and you're not the personnel number one either. So, and it's not like Amy's got Walmart money, you know? So I don't know. I think I'd love to know what the limit is, but I'm not sure I would.
Boy, I tell you one thing I would appreciate if that were to come to fruition. No more Craig Aukerman. That I can get behind. Caroline, what's
you
next?
Would give up, you would give up Vrabel, so there would be no more Craig Aukerman.
I said the silver
really?
Lining. I said the silver lining. Not that I again, I would put
that
up.
That was even on your mind.
I like Vrabel so much that I'm willing to deal with Downing and Aukerman, who I can't stand. But, yes, I would at least celebrate the fact if the next coach kept Craig Aukerman, I'd lose my mind. Lose my mind.
Arthur Smith survived many staffs. Craig Aukerman could, too.
Arthur Smith is a good coach, but I hear you. What's next, Caroline?
Well, we're on the topic of college. Does Alabama deserve to be ranked above Tennessee? Joe, you go first.
Yeah, I don't care if it's written or not. When you do these rankings, if I was sitting in that room doing these rankings, then I'm looking at the current state of the team. And we kind of had this argument on the show this morning. We had Wes Rucker on from 24/7, and you know, he made the argument that Tennessee should be ahead. Look, I think purely on achievement, you can make the case for Tennessee. Tennessee doesn't have the number one reason it's where it is right now. He's not available. Hendon Hooker's not available. And you could say, well, Bryce Young may not play in the Sugar Bowl or whatever either, but he's healthy and available. He's part of their team. Hendon Hooker is not. It's a different team. So I do take that into account. Absolutely. I mentioned this example before. Kenyon Martin, 2000, that was going to be the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. I think they were at 2. Because they lost him to a broken leg. And it changes the team. So, no, Alabama should be ranked ahead of Tennessee.
So, I think Alabama should be ranked ahead of Tennessee, too. The one thing I don't like, though, is I didn't like how Boo Corrigan, the head of the committee, said that the loss to South Carolina was the reason that they put Alabama ahead of Tennessee. Because then I start to wonder, you know, the thing I've realized about the playoff is it really has nothing to do with winning. It has everything to do with losing. It's like, okay, well, we're going to put Ohio State ahead of Alabama because they have one less loss. Do they have any better wins? No. But we're going to put them ahead because they have one less loss. And it's like, really? And then with Tennessee, it's we're going to put Alabama ahead of Tennessee. Why are you putting Alabama ahead of Tennessee? Well, Tennessee beat Alabama. Yeah, but they didn't lose by as much to South Carolina, so that's why we're doing it. So I think I have a problem with that. I mean, but I'm with Joe. You know, if we're talking about contending for the title, and I think that they left themselves some wiggle room that if LSU beats Georgia, which is probably not going to happen, but if it happens and Michigan's the number one seed and USC loses, I think they're going to flip Alabama and Ohio State. And they're going to argue that the LSU loss is better because LSU beat Georgia. And so then they're going to put Alabama in there so they don't get a Michigan-Ohio State rematch in the first round of the playoff. That's why I think they did that. And Michigan and Alabama would just get a massive television rating. But I think they did that to avoid the Michigan-Ohio State rematch. They said yesterday, we reserve the right to change them even though they don't play, which sounds so incredibly stupid. But that's what I think they're doing here. I do believe that the reason that they have Alabama ahead of Tennessee is because if it comes down to exactly what I'm saying and they want to avoid the Michigan-Ohio State rematch, they need Alabama to be ahead of Tennessee instead of putting a quarterbackless Tennessee team in as the fourth seed against Michigan. That's my theory behind it, but I do think I would put Alabama ahead of Tennessee without Hendon Hooker. More Jared versus Joe. We've got a lot to debate. That's coming up. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 through the game. So apparently Mexico's World Cup team is out. I could not give two poops about that. I don't know how everybody else feels, but I could not care. I went to The Athletic to go read Joe's crazy column on Mike Vrabel, and it's like one of the headlines of things I could click is Mexico out at the World Cup. Am I supposed to care about that?
Well, Joe, do you care at all about the World Cup?
I mean, I'm rooting for USA.
It's the most popular sport in the world. I mean, I don't think it's crazy to cover it. So
I'm not saying, but Mexico, not get it. I mean, am I supposed to care about that? Do you care about that?
Yeah, I follow the World Cup. I follow the other, ongoings of other teams. So, sure.
Oh, I couldn't give two poops. Caroline, back to you.
All right, in the last two games, A.J. Brown has combined for 9 catches, 106 yards, a touchdown, two lost fumbles. Treylon Burks, on the other hand, 11 receptions, 171 yards, zero turnovers, and a touchdown. If you could go back and undo the AJ Brown trade right now, would you? Jared, go first.
Yes. Yes. I would undo the AJ Brown trade right now if I could. And I mean this with all due respect from Treylon Burks, but I think it was Chris Sanders today who said this about how even though Treylon Burks has played well the last couple of games, it's not like he took over either game. And now some of that might be the play caller. You know, they hit the bomb down the field to Treylon Burks, and then they bring in the jumbo package and they take Treylon Burks out of the game, which was, you know, downright comical. So I can't necessarily blame Treylon Burks for that. And I do think that Treylon Burks will take over games. I think he's got the talent. But AJ did take over games. This team right now, we saw it in a Kansas City game. They can compete with all of those teams. And quite frankly, I think a lot of the reason that they lost on Sunday, now a lot of it's Burrow, but I think a big part of it is the fact that Burrow knows that T. Higgins can use his size and use his body and just throw it up and go get it. And A.J. did that for Ryan Tannehill numerous times last year. Right now, the window for the Titans is today, and I would have done it. And if I could undo the A.J. trade, knowing what I know about Treylon Burks, knowing what I know about his how prone he is to injuries and all the other stuff, I would have kept A.J. Brown, and I would have signed him to a contract, and I would have figured it out. And, yes, I would undo the A.J. trade today if I could.
I mean, I think you guys know where I stand on this. I haven't changed one bit. You know, I think it's if A.J. Brown stays healthy, I think we'll look back on it however many years from now and say, man, was that a mistake? And I don't know what Treylon Burks' future is. I think he could have a promising future in the league. I think he could be a good player. A.J. Brown is a different level of receiver, you know, really than the Titans have had. Certainly since going back to Derek Mason, and obviously they've failed a lot to try to find a guy like that. That's not what matters most in this situation. But, again, you hang in there, you deal with the BS, and ultimately someone's under contract and you figure it out, and people are going to be professionals. They're going to play football. And it's too bad for the Titans that that's not how it worked out.
Well, I thought Joe was going to be more juicy about that. But Joe's right. Joe threw that fit right after they made the AJ trade. I think that – if they could redo it, I think they would redo it. And I think it's going to affect the game plan. I talked about this earlier today. I think that the fact that the Titans don't want the owner to be mad after the game of A.J. caught 9 for 152 and two touchdowns and Treylon Burks caught 4 for 13, you know, or 2 for 18, that I think it's going to affect the game plan. And I think the fact that Sirianni knows AJ's going to want the ball, and Jalen Hurts knows AJ's going to want the ball, is going to affect the Eagles' game plan. I do think that AJ Brown today said it's not personal between him and the Titans. Bull crap. It's personal. And I think it's going to affect the game plan, but I do think the Titans wish they could redo that.
Well, I knew that at some point Toons was going to drive this car off the cliff. And, yeah, well, you've done it. We're in a ball of flames now, Caroline. Boo! You see the explosion? So you think that Mike Vrabel and his coaching staff are tailoring their game plan to not pissing off ownership? You think that the game plan is not as it is every single week, because if it isn't, you're screwed? 100% solely devoted to winning the football game. The ownership will be happy if the Titans win the football game. If they lose the football game and A.J. has two catches for 13 yards, who cares? Who cares? If they win and A.J. has a big day, again, who cares? Dude, you cannot be serious that you think that Vrabel, again, it goes along with your whole thing with, oh, Dylan Raiden's only on this roster because they don't want to embarrass themselves. That's not how you conduct your business in the National Football League.
You do know he's terrible, right?
Jared, it's stupid.
I mean,
Jared, he's not good. Is he a fake roster? Is he a fake roster spot? I mean, they're starting him. If he was a fake roster spot, they probably would have started any other tomato can they have on the roster, no?
They've started all the other tomato cans, Joe. They started Daly. They started PT. They started all the other. They started a little baby brewer. They've started them all.
So, Jared, You're actually trying to still stick with your argument that they only kept him on the roster to save face when they've started him two straight games. I'm not saying he's good, but that was idiotic then, and it's idiotic now. You should lose for a month just for having to bring that up again. It's so
dumb. Why do you think Caleb Farley was still on the roster? You think they see a future for him at corner?
Well, you can't give up on a first-round pick. Yeah, you can't. You can't give up on him. No, I'm sure that there's a lot of shaking of heads and, boy, this sucks in the building, but you have to try to see it through. You have
But they can give up on the second-round pick of that year.
I mean, if it was absolutely as bad as you say it is, they could.
I mean, I think the ratings is as bad as Farley.
That was part of my argument, too. That was also part of my argument. Again, you were trying to say they kept him on the roster purely because they don't want to be embarrassed. They're already getting ripped for bad picks and bad signings. It's already happening. And this game plan thing, I mean, what a beaut. Yes, the game plan is, we don't want anyone to be mad. So, look, guys, I know normally we're worried about winning the game, but let's just shut A.J. down, okay? Let's just shut A.J. down.
You don't think Nick Sirianni is going to make sure they get A.J. the ball early on Sunday?
I wouldn't
doubt avoid that. Pouty AJ on the sidelines because he wants the ball because it's personal between AJ and the Titans.
If I was the Eagles, OC or him or whoever, I'd be like, yeah, let's get him a couple plays or like get the juices flowing. His emotional carry. And also, by the way, he's a great receiver who you'd want to get the ball anyway. Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is that the Eagles game plan is affected because of how Vrabel or how AJ feels about it. But the Titans' game plan wouldn't be affected because of how the owner would feel about it.
But it's not game plan. I mean, it's not game plan to just say let's see if we can get him the ball a time or two early, get him going. That's not dictating your entire game plan. That's let's get a guy a ball, get him going. That happens all the time. From the Titans' perspective, what are you saying? What would the game plan be, Jared? They're gonna play boxing one on AJ? They're gonna bracket him all day and just let everything else go?
I mean, just like we saw the Titans go out of their way to take Devontae Adams out of the game, which led to Mac Hollins having a bunch of catches for a bunch of yards, just like we've seen the Titans take Travis Kelce out of the game, which led to Juju Smith-Schuster getting a bunch of yards.
Those are game plans to win. So if the game plan to win is what Vrabel believes taking AJ out, fine. You're saying they're gonna do a game plan based on anything other than winning a football game, which is idiotic, and there's no chance that you're right.
I think it matters to them. I think AJ's performance matters to them on Sunday. Think about it like this. If you were the general manager of the Titans and you made the AJ Brown trade and 7 months later, AJ Brown embarrasses you, how do you think your owner would feel about the move that you made?
You walk out of that stadium Sunday happy as a clam if you win. Who gives a crap if he gets 250 and four touchdowns? You walk out of that stadium.
You don't think the owner. Sure, but you don't think that the Titans are going into this game. I think they think if AJ gets 250 and four touchdowns, they will lose. You don't think it matters to them how AJ performs.
When you say them, you mean who? Do I think it matters to John? Oh, I'm sure it absolutely does.
There you go.
Do I think it matters to Amy? But okay, so again, so John Robinson, because he doesn't want him to do well, goes, hey, Mike, hey, come over here, man. Look, I know I normally let you guys, like, do all the coaching and stuff, but this week, maybe let's just take AJ out of the game, okay? What do you say, Mike? What do you say, buddy? It's so dumb. It's so dumb. You should be eject him, Caroline. Eject him.
You know, Kevin Mawai once told me, and he's in the Hall of Fame, Kevin Mawai once told me that Lindale White made some comment about how they didn't block well for him. And Kevin Mawai, the leader of the offensive line, went to Mike Munchak, the offensive line coach, and said, hey, Munch, on the first play, we're not blocking for Lindale. And Mike Munchak, and I figured, you know, the coach would be like, hey, you know, I know he said it, but we got to be. Munchak, also in the Hall of Fame, said, okay. And on the first carry Lindale White got, they didn't block for him, and he got crushed. And I would say that shouldn't they want to win the game?
One play.
But clearly they're worked up about that. The petty exists. It matters in sports. It matters to AJ. And I saw Mike Vrabel throw a reverse pass to Marcus Mariota against the New England Patriots to stick his tush in Bill Belichick's face. Scoop gotten his quarterback killed. And it didn't matter because Vrabel wanted to do it. And I watched Vrabel 2 weeks ago with the game in
also
hand
irrelevant.
Throw the bomb down the field to stick his tush in Matt LaFleur's face. And you're telling me Vrabel don't want to stick his tush in AJ's face after all the things AJ said?
I'm sure that Mike Vrabel would love for AJ Brown to have zero catches and to get hit hard by his defensive backs all day, and he'd love it. But what you're talking about is let's call an offensive play late in a game to stick it to somebody. You can't do that in this situation. You're going against an offensive player. I mean, all these examples you're giving are really interesting, but they are totally irrelevant.
Caroline, what's next?
Predators have won 5 of their last 7. Have they turned things around? Jared, you go first.
No! I mean, yesterday's game, they played Anaheim's the worst team in the league, and they went to overtime, just like they went to a 7-round shootout with that terrible Arizona team. Somebody said to me today, they were like, man, why are the fans down on the team? They've won a bunch of games in a row. And I'm like, because, like, where are they right now? They're right outside the playoffs. They might make the playoffs. They might not make the playoffs. They're right there on the edge, which means that, they'll probably make the playoffs. They'll get blasted in the first round like they did last year. And all the promises they made about being better, they're either the same or just a little bit worse. And they play these horrible teams. And sure, they win them, but they win them in overtime like they did last night, turning a corner. Let's see tomorrow against New Jersey how that goes down. They played Detroit, who actually, shockingly, is having a nice season, and they didn't score a goal. So, hate to break it to everybody out there, but no, an overtime win over Arizona does not a shootout win over Arizona and an overtime win against Anaheim, who is the worst team in the league, does not do it for me in terms of turning a corner. And if they could put together just the remnants of a power play, it would be nice.
But I just want to make sure, Caroline, you said the question was, have they turned a corner?
Have they turned things around?
Yeah, okay. Well, look, have they turned things around from when they weren't even on the fringe of the playoffs? I mean, they've improved their standing, but last night was a game that you can't flirt with losing. You go to overtime against Anaheim, it's basically an AHL team. Last night, I honestly, it was bizarre. And I had a different perspective from kind of close to the ice last night. I can't recall a good hit from a Nashville Predator last night, which is so weird because last year, that's one thing you can kind of count on, right? I mean, they were going to beat teams up. At one point in the third period, I'm like, no one has delivered a hit this entire game. It's so weird. And, of course, right now they're just miserable offensively right near the bottom of the league. So, I mean, have they turned it around? Have they gotten better? Have they gotten themselves to the point where they're at least on the fringe? Is that an improvement? Yes, but I basically share Jared's pessimism for what they are and what they're going to be at this point. It's hard to, I mean, they're going to have to get a lot better, play a lot better than this, and show a lot more to think they're anything but a sneak into the playoffs first round exit team.
Do you, like, give me a percent chance that you think they could win a playoff series?
Percent chance that they can win a playoff series right now. First of all, percent chance they get to the playoffs right now, I guess I'd go about 50-50. So win a playoff series, I guess I'll give them maybe 10% right now, but that might be optimistic. How about 9%?
Yeah, I was thinking like 5.
You know. 9 might be generous.
Yeah, I was thinking like 5.
I was thinking 5.
I mean, I kind of wanted to say 1%. Because I do believe it. Like, I don't think they're going to win a playoff series, but 5's probably more right. You know, the other team could get hurt or something like that. So, anything's possible. Caroline, who wins this week?
Mike Vrabel can be the king of pettiness, absolutely. But to think that he is going to change and tailor the entire game plan just to prove a point to AJ Brown, I think is completely off base. I do think that Mike Vrabel will want to stick it to AJ on like a play. But if stopping AJ Brown is how the Titans win, then that's what they'll do because that's how they win. Joe wins.
I'll remember this just like I remember how we were talking about who the Titans' third favorite receiver would be this year, and I brought up Cody Hollister and said they loved him, and Joe and Caroline laughed me out of here, or the Vandy United Fund and how that was going to change Vandy's fortunes around Good Game Vandy on Saturday, and all the other horrendous takes that you two have colluded on over the years. I'll remember this one too.
Yeah, keep it taken.
Jared, you did this to yourself, Jared. I mean, like you were doing just fine, and then you go into this game plan thing. Like, come on.
It will affect the game plan.
Be mad at yourself.
The pettiness between Vrabel, the pettiness of the Titan players, because I think the Titan players are mad about that Kansas City tweet, and the fact that A.J. Brown is just won't shut up, and I think it's obvious. Like, I think that ownership, you know, I don't think ownership very happy about A.J. Brown. I think it will affect the way they play. Caroline, great job. Joe, great job. Great take. Good column, Joe. Always looking forward. Am I on your show tomorrow at 7 a.m.? I assume that I probably am. I'll talk to you then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
thanks, all. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
I know.
Stillman and Company. So, A.J. Brown today finally addressed the Titans ahead of Titans Week. And why what A.J. Brown has said is literally different than everything else A.J. Brown has ever said. We'll get to that coming up next. Edley's Barbecue. I love Edley's Barbecue. Let Edley's Barbecue cater your next event. I know a lot of people are having holiday parties that are upcoming. And so when you got those holiday parties, let Edley's Barbecue cater your next event. Voted Nashville's best barbecue 4 years in a row. Edley's Barbecue is a winning pick. Pickup, delivery, full service catering, you name it, including full bar packages and bartending services. Perfect for small gatherings, corporate meetings, box lunches, and team celebrations. They've got special occasions, including weddings and rehearsal dinners. So call your neighborhood Edley's or order online at edleysbbq.com. I've told the story. My dad had a big birthday party last year. This was before I was even talking about Edley's. Who did we cater? Edley's. It was phenomenal. That's edleysbbq.com. Again, voted Nashville's best barbecue 4 years in a row. That's edleysbbq.com.
Any different? No. I mean, I think that, you know, I would imagine, you know, I'll see high. I want nothing but the best for AJ other than Sunday when we play him. I mean, he has to know that, and he knows that. And I hope that he has the same feeling for me. You know, you put a lot of time in with these guys, personal time, professional time, and get to know their families. And, you know, you want the best for them except for, you know, when you're competing against them.
There you go, Mike Vrabel saying, hey, you know, with A.J. Brown, you know, it is what it is. It's nothing. You know, I'm going to say hi to him. You want the best for him. You know, we're trying to beat him, but it's not going to be anything different. It's not going to be, sure. A.J. Brown met with the media today in Philadelphia. In fact, I have the Eagles website pulled up in which A.J. Brown met with it. And that was their big spotlight today. A.J. Brown puts Titan Showdown in proper perspective. A.J. Brown says, regardless of who we're playing, that's my focus. Uh-huh. Asked about Tennessee's trade, A.J. Brown said, I've come to peace about it. I am with the Eagles. We're 10-1. We're doing a really good job here. Of course, early on I had mixed emotions, but I changed my family's life forever. That was the goal. I'm thankful for Tennessee. But I'm here in Philly now. I feel like me, personally, I won, A.J. Brown says. I say that because I changed my family's life forever. That's the goal, especially growing up where I'm from. Of course, I want to do great. I want to accomplish great things. But that's the reason we play the game. So A.J. Brown says, I won because I got my contract and I accomplished everything. Uh-huh. But here's what it really, where I'm like, really, A.J.? A.J. Brown says this game is, quote, not personal. And instead, it is another opportunity to play the game I love. So after A.J. Brown removed Tennessee from his Twitter bio during the offseason, after A.J. Brown complained to Deebo Samuel, who then told his mom in the background of an Instagram Live video where she was changing the batteries of fire alarms, after that complaining session, after all of the social media tidbits, after calling somebody else's quarterback the best leader he's ever been around other than his leader, after getting into it with random nobodies on Twitter, after striking it up with D-Mace, after the trade in which he told TD that he didn't want to be traded and the Titans did it, after all the things he said on social media, after he took a victory lap when Terry McLaurin, DK Metcalf, and Deebo Samuel all signed their contracts, after the tweet he sent out 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, whenever it was, during the Kansas City game on Sunday Night Football about receivers not getting open. With all of those things, A.J. Brown has put it in the rearview mirror. A.J. Brown has moved on, and it's not a big deal to A.J. Brown. I'm supposed to believe that this game is not personal. You know what's funny? When people do business dealings, and I've had business dealings done, I've had people that have turned me down. People that have said, you know, hey, we're not interested in your services. We don't think you're a good enough radio host. One guy told me that my voice was not authoritative enough. My voice did not have enough authority. But you know, it's a business thing. So don't take it personal. It's not something that I've ever brought up before, because it's obviously not that big of a deal to me. If it was a big deal to me, I'd bring it up all the time. The Titans never bring up AJ. You never hear Vrabel talk about it. You never hear the players talk about AJ. You never hear any of it. You always hear from AJ. And I'm supposed to believe that it's not personal. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Were they doing something particularly well on defense today? It looked like it was probably tough going as you might have had all year.
Yeah, they executed. We didn't. They had a plan. They came in to execute it, and we didn't do our job in the run game.
You know, it's a rare thing for you guys, but do you think they wound up being the more physical team?
I would think so, because, you know, we just couldn't get nothing started in the run game. And like I said, they had a plan. They came in to execute it, and they played better than we did.
There you go. That was Derrick Henry after the Bengals game talking about the physicality of it. We got some tea that just dropped. This is from The Athletic. So Ted Karras, who's the center of the Bengals, Ted Karras, there's a video of him going off the field basically saying, you know, F you, Tennessee, up yours, Tennessee. You know, it went viral. I didn't make a big deal about it. I didn't really care about it. But apparently Ted Karras and the Bengals were calling the Titans dirty and cheap. They accused the Titans of not conceding the game when Cincinnati was kneeling the ball out. I have no idea. As soon as they called the personal foul, I stepped out of the stadium, and I haven't watched the kneel downs to see if the Titans.
Frustrations were starting to boil.
You thought so? Like they went full Greg Schiano on it?
I don't know. They didn't go full Greg Schiano, like trying to jump the snap or whatever. But you could see, you know, Simmons and a couple of the D line. I think the defense started to get frustrated just in general because they had been playing so poorly.
So the Athletic article says, quote, as much exception as Karras took to the Titans going hard on the three kneel downs, it was what happened after the last one that really lit the fuse on his F bombs. Quote, it was a chippy physical game that didn't concede at the end. There were some punches thrown. It was Jeffrey Simmons. I got punched in the face. It was ridiculous. He should be fined. So he said Jeffrey Simmons punched him in the face.
I didn't notice any, like, legit. I mean, it wasn't like a, you know, a scruff or anything. We would have seen some more highlights if it was like a legit punch. There was definitely some frustrations in pushing and shoving.
I mean, the fact that he was like, it's Jeffrey Simmons. Didn't somebody call Jeffrey Simmons dirty last year and said that he spit in his mouth?
Mm-hmm.
Do we remember who that was? I'm Googling Jeffrey Simmons spit in mouth. I remember it last year. Like
somebody
what?
Did claim that Jeffrey Simmons spit at them.
Jeffrey Simmons, it was a Ravens guard in the 2020 playoffs. Marshall Yanda. Now, Marshall Yanda, he was like a pro bowler, and he retired on his own terms. And Marshall Yanda accuses Jeffrey Simmons of spitting in his mouth. After the Titans' 28-12 win, Yanda accused Simmons of spitting in his face during the game. I just want to put him on notice in the media. I've never done this in my career, said Yanda. There's a right way and a wrong way to play football, and that guy did not do it the right way. So the refs and everybody in the NFL need to put him on notice. Like I said, I've never been spit in my face. I literally got spit right in my face by 98. Now Ted Karras is saying that Simmons punched him in the face and that he should be fined. And I'll say this. I was at training camp, and I watched Simmons get into it with Leonard Fournette. So clearly, Jeffrey Simmons. Now, here's the thing. Jeffrey Simmons got to be careful. Because if Ted Karras is right, and I don't know, you know, I don't know if they're going to look, if the NFL's going to hear what Ted Karras said and they're going to run the tape back and go see what happened after the play, if Jeffrey Simmons punched him or whatever. But I could see the NFL, if this becomes a thing, Jeffrey Simmons being in trouble. And it does sound like Jeffrey Simmons plays the game dirty. Just when you get accused by one guy, it's one thing.
At least on the edge.
But when you get accused by punching guys in the face, Ted Karras has been in the NFL for a long time. Ted Karras played in New England and was their center with Brady or a guard, or he was in New England for a while. And so for him to accuse Jeffrey Simmons of punching him in the face after Marshall Yanda, who is a very respected player, accused Jeffrey Simmons of spitting on him, and I watched Jeffrey Simmons in training camp get into a fight with Leonard Fournette, I think it's pretty obvious that Jeffrey Simmons has a reputation now, and it seems to be well-earned, of crossing the line. And all I'll say about that is somebody just needs to tell Jeffrey Simmons. Everybody that knows Jeffrey Simmons says he's a great guy. Somebody just needs to tell Jeffrey Simmons, Jeff, don't cross the line. We saw Albert Haynesworth take his cleat and stick it right in the face of Andre Girard. And I believe Andre Girard is one of Jeffrey Simmons' advisors, if I'm not mistaken. Go talk to Andre Girard, Jeffrey, and go say, hey, remember when Albert Haynesworth stepped on your face? And remember what happened to Albert Haynesworth? And Albert Haynesworth's reputation was never the same. Now, I didn't stop him from getting the big contract, but his reputation in the NFL, and I would argue, and I like Albert. I don't know him very well, but I know him well enough. I like Albert. But I would argue his reputation in life has suffered a little bit. You know, how everybody views him because of that step on Andre Girard. I'd be careful about Jeffrey Simmons. You know what Vrabel says about doing dumb stuff that hurts the team? Don't do it. You punch Ted Karras at the end of a game. If that gets on a camera, they could suspend you for the next game, and that would hurt the team. So we keep our eye on that. Again, Ted Karras of the Bengals accusing Jeffrey Simmons of punching him after the game. Preds got an overtime win last night against the worst team in the league. Preds Insiders will analyze that next. Stillman and Company, we'll see you all tomorrow, too.